My name is Julie Freymar. Today is February 26, 2016. We are interviewing Whitney Conley in Miller 219 at Roanoke College. Okay. When and where were you born?
When was April 12, 1968, and I was born in Raleigh County, West Virginia.
And how long have you lived in the Roanoke-Salem area?
Well, I've lived in Roanoke City, since 1982, I believe. 81 or 82, yeah.
And were you born into any particular ethnic, national, racial, or religious groups? And what was your experience with the community of Roanoke?
As far as just...
interaction, people?
I went to school here. I grew up in New Jersey up until about the eighth grade and then came back here. My family is from here. Just went to high school here. Normal kids. Get into trouble just like everybody else. After that, I went to a travel school in Pittsburgh and came back and had a 15-16 year career in the travel and hospitality industry until the bottom dropped out with 9/11. Other than that, just living here, it's a good town to raise kids. People are generally nice. There's a difference between Salemites and Roanokers. I'm sure you're aware of that. In general, it's changed. It's grown quite a bit from when we came back from New Jersey. But all in all, it has its ups and it has its downs.
Could you tell me more about how it's changed over the time?
Well, definitely grown in population. I can remember when Valley View Mall was not Valley View Mall. It was the Huff Farm. We got in trouble in that farm a few times. Hirschberger Road was two lanes, going that way and coming this way, and that was it. It really has grown quite a bit. Just over the last few years, I've noticed, this has been happening for quite a while. Roanoke has really been enticing elderly people to retire here. The unfortunate downside to that is they don't want to pay taxes anymore. Certainly not educational taxes, and that hurts the school divisions, I think. So, we could have been Charlotte. We really could have been Charlotte, and we were not because of some really piss poor decisions of our leaders. So,
cool. And so, what has been some of the most important events in your life?
Important events. I would probably start. I would say a turning point in my life was probably when my dad died in 1982. I was 13, getting ready to turn 14. Then, not too long after that, I went through a huge depression with all of that. My sister was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. She was 7 or 8. And my teenage years were just not good. And then I would say probably getting married, having kids, your typical type of big, huge events, but nothing, I wouldn't say anything catastrophic,
Great. So what is your sexual orientation and your gender identity?
I'm gay, lesbian. In today's world, there's so many definitions. I just say gay female. I'm female.
Oh, yeah.
Not transgender or anything, just strictly female.
And what was your family's reaction to you coming out? I know you've mentioned having children.
The children, my youngest really wasn't old enough to understand. He was... my oldest was 12, so 5.5 years, 7, so my youngest would have been about 7. My oldest one did not take it very well at all. That I was divorced, from their father, When the father found out about it, that's when kind of all hell broke loose. And custody battle and all that ensued, so.
And did you anticipate that your orientation, your sexual orientation, would cause such an issue? And how did that make you feel internally?
I don't really think that, well, let me back up just a little bit. I was in a relationship prior to my kids finding out. So they did not know about that relationship. And I had told my mother, I'd come out to my mother at that point. She was from the 60s generation. Nothing really surprised her much. So, and my sister had a female affair as well. She's not gay, but most people experience that at some point in their lives. So the coming out as far as my children came with the second relationship. I didn't really give it much thought, I don't think. I really did not think that it was going to be as big a deal as it really was.
And how did the relationship change within your family after you came out?
It didn't. No. Not as far as, my mother, my relationship with my mother. My grandmother, she was on my mother's side. She didn't say anything about it. But you knew she, because of religion and stuff, she didn't accept it, but she didn't treat me any different. But by that point, she was so getting to the point of dementia and all that. My other grandmother on my father's side, well, my grandfather on my father's side, he was already in full-blown Alzheimer's. But my grandmother, she was cool. She loved Terry to death, and that was like her second granddaughter, so.
Great.
So on and so on. Yeah, the dynamics there didn't really change much.
So what challenges do you think that we still have and things that need to be done with, some changes in the LGBT community here at Roanoke, well, here within Salem and Roanoke?
Well, as far as the college itself, I've only was going here for the one semester, which was last semester, and of course I've had to drop due to some personal things going on in my family. It has nothing to do with the gay issue. Nobody knew I was gay, so I couldn't answer that question, honestly. Okay. I can't give you a good, honest answer.
Okay. So what was life like for you, identifying as a lesbian, then when you first came out, and how has things changed now?
You mean as far as, my personal out in the community?
Yes.
When I had the first relationship, it was with a girl that I worked with who I knew from high school. It was a very tumultuous relationship. And she ended up losing her job. But then 9/11 happened, and then I lost mine, being laid off. Half the whole staff was laid off. The people there at work knew, but that didn't really change anything. They really kind of helped me get out of that relationship. But as far as the community, and I hate to say this, but it's really true, I don't look the gay part. I don't have a shaved head. I hate the word, but the dykey look. I don't have that. So I have a better... I can get away with more things in the community. It's true, but... it's the unfortunate side of it. So it's really not changed for me, honestly.
Okay. And do you volunteer, or have you ever volunteered for an LGBT organization?
Mm-mm. I don't really have time to do anything.
Do you feel as if Roanoke and or Southwest Virginia Roanoke has enough of these groups and communities for the LGBTQ communities? That they have enough resources and groups?
This is a really odd thing. I don't know. Because, our friends are gay, but nobody ever really talks about it. Nobody seems to be involved in anything. You know, there's the Pride in the Park. Never have been to it. It's just not something. Some people don't go out in the community, especially teachers, don't go out in the community because they don't want to be found out. For whatever their reason is, I don't know if that's a retaliation in their employment, which is would surprise me. So, I mean, there are things around the community, but I don't know.
Okay. What community spaces do you frequent often? Where do you like to go?
Well, where I used to go, I never go out anymore.
Yeah.
I don't really go out anymore. McAdoo's downtown would have been like the gay, mm-hmm. gay hangout. We would go to Community Inn, gay friendly. I've been to the park, you know, the dance club. Not really quite my scene, but I mean, that's been around for eons. My sister used to go there in high school to dance, but I mean, a lot of times it was mainly getting together with friends at their homes. That's what we kind of all did. Mm-hmm. We did that, or we met again at McAdoo's, you know, for a Friday evening or something like that. That was about it.
Great. And how were your friends supportive in the ways of how you chose to come out and things like that?
When I came out, I wasn't really in what you would consider the community.
Okay.
I just came out when I was dating this girl. She's not gay. It was just one of those fly-by-night relationships that just developed. It wasn't until I met Terry that I was kind of introduced to the community. So I didn't have the typical, I need to go to a gay place to learn to come out. I just kind of, there it was.
Great. And how has your plans changed from when you were younger to where you are today?
As far as, what kind of plans? Just life plans?
Life plans, life goals.
Well, eventually I would like to go back and get my bachelor's. I have the associates, but I would like to go back and get the bachelor's wherever I land. At this particular moment, my goal is, because my partner took a job in Raleigh, and we've been apart for almost 3 years, so it's time to come back together. So that's why we're selling the house here and going to find a house down there and proceed with life at that point. The kids are no longer in Roanoke. They're in Denver now, so I don't have that to deal with on a daily basis. We'll see where life takes me at this point, or at that point.
Now, has the relationship changed with your children at all, with, you know, coming out? So how has that changed?
They held a lot of guilt. Well, Spencer, my oldest, did hold a lot of guilt over a lot of that. We were in a custody battle for about 2 years. And now that he's an adult and looking back on it, you know, he would have rather have done it a little differently and not been so upset. But they're very welcoming. They love Terry to death, you know, when everybody's getting along. That's typical of a family. But, you know, as a kid, you don't know how to react to things. And it was just a reaction. And, you know, instead of sitting down at the table and talking about it, the dad just decided to take me to court. And he won. In the state of Virginia, that's kind of what happened.
Could you tell me more about that? More about the court cases? Like, in what ways did you struggle? And
well, that was really difficult. When we first went to court, basically the juvenile, it was in juvenile court, and he just said, they're gone. They go to him. And we had been divorced for several years, and we had joint legal custody, but I had the primary care. That means that the child lives with me primarily. And then goes to see the father, you know, whatever the set time was. And so the judge just ripped him out and said, nope, now they're with the dad. And then we had to have social services involved. The children were given a guardian ad litem, which is a lawyer that's designated by the court to handle them in all of this. It was really difficult. It was difficult to lose your kids just like that, just because of who you are, or because, you know, you want to live your life. And I was a little bit, you're not going to tell me how to live my life. I'm just going back. Had I really given it a lot more thought and not been so prideful at the time, I probably would have changed my mind. Because the judge did give me a chance. He said, if you're willing to give up that relationship, you can have your kids. And I was like, wait a minute. Why can you tell me what I can and can't do with my own life? Nobody's getting hurt, but I made the decision. And so, needless to say, we lost that. That was about a year's worth of battling back and forth. And then we once that was settled, and when the social services, and this is what really was the kicker, when the lady from social services came in, she basically said, this is my personal opinion. And you'll never be able to see the court case because it's a closed case. It's sealed. But this is what she said. She said, it is my personal opinion that people should not live together. She didn't say gay people. She said people. Now, my children had already seen Michael Jaglinski, which was a child psychologist, and he wrote up documentation saying there is no proof whatsoever that gay relationships harm children in any way, shape, or form. The guardian ad litem for the children could not find anything in my background or in our home visits or anything that would lead to any conclusion that the relationship was harming my children. By the social worker saying that one statement, the judge said, that's it. They're with the dad. So then after that, we proceeded to circuit court. By that point, by the end of the circuit court, which was almost a year, the children had been in his primary care for over a year. And the circuit court judge said, first of all, the juvenile court judge did not do the right thing. He should never rip the kids away until after all of the documentation, all the visits were done, and everything was blah, blah, blah. So he said, but at this point, the kids have already resettled. So I can't fairly and justifiably take them away from their father at this point. So that was done. Then, next chapter. Then when the father finally realized that it takes quite a bit to take care of the kids, one by one I got them back. So that's how that worked out.
Can you tell me more about that? The process of getting your children back? Or...
Spencer, by that point, was about 14. He's the oldest. You know, doing the typical stuff. Escaping out of the bedroom in the middle of the night, going to meet up with the friends, or not coming home when he's supposed to. And their dad would say, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, well, I can't do anything about it. I don't live there. You know, I can't control what happens at your house. I can only control what happens at my house. But I will stand by you with punishments and things of that nature. But it was just repetitive issues, you know, skipping school, just your typical stuff. And he didn't want to deal with it. He kept asking me what I was going to do with it. I'm like, I can't do anything. So he ended up signing rights back over to me for Spencer. Mason, on the other hand, which was the younger, stayed with him. And he ended up ripping Mason out of the schools that he had grown up in and taken him to the county schools. That was a complete disaster. So Mason started doing his now new normal teenage activities. And it just finally came down to where Mason did not want to go back to his dad's. And I had to say, well, you know, I can't allow you to stay here unless all of this is, you know, reverted back to me. So it took a little prodding, but yeah, his dad eventually signed him back over to me.
Great.
Be careful what you ask for. Life lesson, be careful what you ask for.
What are some things that you wish that you were told growing up about LGBT issues?
I don't know that I knew what gay people were when I was growing up. I knew what they were, but it wasn't something that was discussed, or, you know, I never was around anybody that, gosh, was I ever around anybody that was gay? I don't really, to think about it, I don't think I was ever around anybody that was gay, or if they were gay, I didn't know it as a kid, so, yeah.
So when and where did you realize that the heterosexual lifestyle wasn't your forte?
Probably when I met Leslie, that was the first relationship. I met her, I knew her in high school, I knew who she was in high school, but when we finally met at work. But it answered a lot of questions, I think. Probably from how I was feeling about things growing up in high school, more so high school. As a young kid, I wouldn't have known the difference. I mean, I was a tomboy. I played with boys. But I still had a baby doll. You know, I still play with baby dolls. My sister played with Barbies. I rode her little scooter down the driveway all the time, ruining half of her Barbie toys. But, you know, I was a tomboy. But it does, I think, kind of answer a lot of questions. Not that being a tomboy makes you gay or anything, because it doesn't, but it did kind of bring to light some things that stood out, maybe.
What are some of these things that stood out for you?
Well, now I know why I like my best friend so much. You know. probably that type of thing, and why I always felt an attraction for women. I think women feel attractions for each other anyway, whether they're gay or straight, but mine was fairly strong, and I never really, you know, I didn't know if that was normal, or I didn't really even question it. You just know, you grow up, you get married, you have 2.5 kids and the white picket fence. That's the way, well, I don't know if you guys are in a different genre of people, but, you know, for females, that's pretty much what it was. That's what it was portrayed on TV and everywhere else that you were. That's what you did, and that's what I did. down in the South, you didn't hear a lot of gay stuff. It just went around.
Do you feel as if the society's viewpoints suppressed your self-expressing ways?
Well, I mean, in high school, we had a couple of gay boys, didn't know any females that were, I mean, there was always the rumor, but, we had a couple that actually went to prom. I don't recall anything ever being scrutinized over it, or anybody ever being, you know, I didn't really hang out with them, just because they weren't into my clique, but I don't recall anything ugly being said or done, or, you know, not like some of the things happening today. Not really anything that I went about my day thinking about.
Great. So what has been one challenge that you've had to overcome in life? And how did you do so?
There's so many challenges. And I'm not sure that I'm not real sure that I've ever gotten over any of them, to be honest. probably say one of the biggest. Are you talking gay stuff or are you talking anything? Just anything. I'd probably say my relationship with my mother. Just, I would say in the last several years, we've actually had a relationship. She didn't grow up in the best family. Granddaddy beat the tar out of all his kids. And I don't mean just whipping them, I mean beating them. So she's not always the easiest person to get close to. Very moody. So probably that's been one of the biggest challenges, and I still have challenges with that relationship.
Okay.
That's today, I'm still dealing with.
Okay. And what would be one of the biggest challenges identifying as LGBT?
I would probably say the biggest challenge is the fear of community acceptance, especially in employment. In a town, even though Roanoke seems to be kind of large, it's not. So everybody knows everybody because a lot of us have grown up here. And, you know, you don't want to walk down the street and kiss your girlfriend or your boyfriend, if you're male, and then go on a job interview and be remembered. And then that person say, you know, I'm not going to hire that person because they're gay. Even though there are laws out there that state it still happens. It's a small town. And it's an ass-backwards town.
From what you remember, what was Roanoke like in regards to different sexualities and preferences? What were their attitudes, supportiveness, means of that?
As far as the community is concerned, I couldn't say, honestly. I guess the only experience I can say is I've never had to endure any struggles in that personally. To this date, anybody that I've ever worked with hasn't had a problem with it. But I know eventually out there in the South, you will run into somebody that has that problem. That's the fear. I would probably gander to say that the majority of people, probably my age group, which is roughly around the 50-year age mark, you know, that grew up in the 80s and the 90s, even the late 70s, probably are pretty liberal about it, unless they just grew up in that really hardcore conservative family. I think they're pretty much, well, whatever. You know, do whatever you want as long as you're not doing anything illegal. I don't care. So, you know, I've never really run into too much of it. Now, when you go to a bar and a gentleman might find out that you're gay and the whole, well, try me out and then you won't be gay anymore, you know, that kind of stuff happens all the time. It's, mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You just emasculate the hell out of them and move on about your thing.
Yeah. Can you tell us more about a time when that has happened?
Oh, there's been plenty of times that that's happened. Oh, yeah. I just play along with it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Sure. How big is it or how small? Yeah, you do all those little funny things, just like I said, to emasculate them. And then you get up, well, thank you very much for your time, but no, thank you. I'm happy where I'm at, you know. Or you just get up. It just depends on the mood. But there's been so many times that I, over the course of, what, almost 20 years now, that I just, they all kind of blend after a while. It's the same old, same old.
Great.
And those are in straight bars, not gay bars, so.
So what has been the greatest changes that you've seen or experienced within this area?
Repeat the question.
what have been the greatest changes that you've seen or experienced within this the Roanoke area?
As far as the gay thing or just anything? Jeez, these are hard questions. I would probably say, as far as the gay thing, Roanoke has a very high populace, a very high gay populace. And yeah, I think for the most part, they're fairly welcome. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any, and I'm sure it had. We did run into somebody recently, and I totally forgot about this. Transgender. I guess you could get it's a he, but was jumped like two nights before, and you could tell he had a cut on his nose, or she had a cut on her nose. And, yeah, it's sad that that happens. Now, whether that's isolated, I don't know, because I'm not out, so I don't know. But I would probably say for the most part that Roanoke's fairly accepting. I don't think that we, as a gay community, have to stay in one little corner. You know, I see gay people out at straight bars. I see straight people at gay bars. So I don't really think that we have to sit in a pocket somewhere, which is nice. Yeah. We're not San Francisco, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Great. Now, how was Roanoke, the community here at Roanoke, the LGBT community, different when you said that you lived in Pittsburgh?
Well, that was back in the 80s. I couldn't tell you about any gay stuff up there. First of all, it wasn't legal, so I wasn't able to go out to bars. I was only 18. So as far as that, I can't answer. I can't really answer that question.
Okay. What is something or some things that you wish that you could tell your younger self going through the transition of openly LGBT?
Just do it. Don't worry. Get rid of the fear. Deal with the fear.
What are some of these fears that you've experienced?
Well, again, the fear of, you know, if I go to apply for a job, or, you know, is that going to affect my chances of being hired? Am I going to get jumped? You know, there's still fears, no matter what, that you may. You know, when we were in Dr. Rosenthal's class last semester, and we went downtown Roanoke, and he was doing the gay walk. I mean, he wasn't walking gay, but you know what I'm saying. He was pointing out all the gay places in Roanoke. And yeah, they were rednecks. And they drove by in a truck. And, you know, I kind of had in the back of my mind, are they going to get out of the truck? It wouldn't surprise me if they did. But that fear still lingers, and it always will, until this world becomes 100% accepting of everybody and anybody. It's always going to be there. So that's, I'd probably just say, you know what, do what you need to do. Live your life. Just live your life.
Great. Do you find Roanoke to be a safe place for LGBT students, adults?
Relatively safe, yeah. I mean, other than, you know, you can always be mugged. Yeah. That, I mean, even the transgender, he was young. I call him a kid. He was jumped, but I don't know if that's really what that was. Was it because that he or she was transgender, or was it just because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time? And what's the best thing to do but to jump? I mean, my kid got jumped about a month ago. So, I don't know. I don't think they're any less safe than anybody else. But again, you know, and I have no problem with this, don't get me wrong on this, but when you look the part, that can open up issues. I mean, it can, and it's sad that it does, but it does. If a female walks out and she looks like a man, you know, you get some redneck in a truck that doesn't like that. Well, that's, you know what can happen. Same thing if you have a very feminine gay man, you know, or a transgender that dresses up in dress, you know. It's unfortunate, but that kind of can lead to some altercations, and that's the world we live in.
And have you personally witnessed any of these kind of altercations?
No, I have not personally. My nephew came out as transgender about a year ago, 17 years old, and already in the transition to, you know, taking the hormones and things. And it's kind of like I had to say to my sister, I said, keep him out. They live in Seattle. I said, keep him out in Seattle. Don't bring him here, because I can guarantee you that he will get hassled in some form. Not beat up or anything, but they'll hassle him, I'm sure. Because I don't think transgenders are as accepted here as just, you know, if you're a lesbian or if you're just a gay man. It's probably more the rhetoric that's going on in our political scene right now that is causing more of that. I've been around transgenders, it doesn't bother me any. Do, like I said, live your life, do what you want to do. As long as you're not doing anything illegal and hurting anybody, I don't care. But Roanoke, yes, to answer your question, I think Roanoke is relatively safe. But yeah, you're going to have pockets of issues. It just is what it is.
So have you ever experienced any negative reactions when you have identified as a lesbian openly?
No, other than, you know, in a bar, some guy thinking that he can, you know, switch you because you're not what he apparently wants you to be. So other than that, no. I mean, that's negative enough, but not blatant harassment or anything like that.
Okay. So what is some of the best news that you've gotten, and what made it so important?
Best news. Oh gosh, I don't know. Oh wow. That both my children had both, you know, 10 toes and 10 fingers and were healthy, and I guess that's probably the the best thing to know. I don't know, being accepted here in Roanoke was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
No, I would say my kids were probably the best news.
Mm-hmm. So. Great. So how has the LGBT community in Roanoke changed since, you know, you've came out, or how has it stayed the same?
In Roanoke itself, Roanoke City? And this may be just getting older. The fact that, you know what, I don't care anymore what people think. You know, if Terry and I are in the car and she's a very kissy person, so, you know, she'll lean over. I don't care if anybody sees it. I just don't care. Now, I'm respectful. I'm not going to walk into a room full of old ladies and you know, have it out. Or get down or anything like that. You know, I do want to show respect, but at the same time, you know, in my own space. I'm going to do what I want to do. As well as a person should. So, but in a tasteful, respectful way.
Yeah.
Still a little traditional there.
You mentioned your nephew being transgender. Is there a relationship between the two of you?
Not really. Gosh, I haven't been out to Seattle in a long time. Last time I was out in Seattle in 2005, I think. So it's been a while. And I haven't seen him. I mean, I get pictures of him and everything, but I haven't seen him in a while. Great kid. Beautiful kid. He has changed his name to a female name. When my sister called me and told me, it was kind of like, oh wow, you know, I think it's easier if it's not your family. I didn't have a problem with it whatsoever. What I fear for her is what she's gonna face. That's the fear for her. But if she's happy, I'm happy. And they're all in therapy, you know, to work through the processes. You know, and also another thing, the only other reservation I had about it, if it were my child, is she was so young. 17 is very young to make a life-altering decision. I would have rather her wait several years, especially with the hormones, because once you start the hormones, you can't go back. But other than that, you know, even my kids. Hey, you know, it's my cousin. But, you know, knowing what the transgender... I don't think the gay and lesbian scene has anything on the transgenders and what they have to go through. I guess our past has already happened, and we've already, or you know, I haven't, but so many people, you know, the Harvey Milks and that paved the way for us. So we have our, I don't even think a whole lot of our friends even had to go through a lot of it. Some did. One of our friends got shot down at Easy Streets, Easy Streets, down Salem Avenue when the gentleman went in there and shot everything up. But the transgender, I feel bad for that community. I really do, because of what they have to go through.
Do you feel as if Roanoke is not very supportive towards the transgender community?
That I haven't had a whole lot of experience in, but I would probably have to say that it's going to take them a long while. I'm not so sure that they would be like physically aggressive towards a transgender, but I'm not sure that they'll be overly, you know, mentally accepting, which can stand in the way physically of a transgender, you know, using bathrooms and things of that nature. I don't care. I use men's bathrooms all the time because you can't get into them. It doesn't really matter to me. Yeah, it's going to be a while. Although I did like to see Charlotte pass the... You know about Charlotte passing the bathroom. I don't know if it was an ordinance or a bill or whatever, but the city of Charlotte... they just passed that transgenders can pick whatever bathroom that they identify with, gender-wise. So I thought that was good. Now, there's going to be a fight on it, just because it's the Bible Belt and conservative nature. But yeah, if Charlotte can do it, the rest of us can get there. The rest of us can get there.
Great. So do you have a particular message to share with today's youth or future generations of LGBT?
I guess I could say that you're going to have to constantly fight. You just are. It's going to be what it is. And that can be whether you're female, not gay or anything. We females fight for equality. It's just going to be a constant fight for equality. The sad fact of it is, if you look the part, it's going to be an even bigger fight. That's going to be the sad part. However, don't keep the fight up. Don't change who you are. Keep the fight up, because there are allies out there that are right with you, irregardless. So, just know that.
What has provided you the greatest satisfaction in life?
Greatest satisfaction. It's a double-edged sword, but I would probably say my kids.
Can you tell me more?
I never wanted kids. I really didn't. It just happened. And I think once you do have kids, it's a hard process. It's hard. It's a struggle. Every day is almost a struggle. But when you look at them and they're gorgeous, and you know, you constantly have this hope for them, even when they screw up. And my kids have screwed up sometimes. And they're those type of kids that have to learn the hard way. They have their problems. But with kids, there's always a hope. You know, and that they're going to make the world better. So you guys have a lot of work ahead of you. A lot of work ahead of you. Because we keep screwing it up. But no, I would probably say my kids. My greatest heartache and joy. That's the best way to put it there. Heartache and joy at the same time.
Do you feel more comfortable that you are now able to self-express and self-identify as lesbian? Do you feel as if there's been, like, a burden removed? Or
No, I never felt that way. And I think it's because I didn't have these struggles to come out. I think it would have just happened anyway. But I didn't have to... I didn't have my family discard me or turn their backs on me. I didn't have friends turn their backs on me. Everybody just accepted it. Everybody, you know, still loved me for who I was. And I had good friends, and, I didn't have that hardship. So I can't speak to that hardship. So there is no real burden, I don't think. The only thing I could maybe place as a burden is that I don't live a straight life anymore. You know, because it just... Do I think about it sometimes? Could I ever go back? Probably not. You know, if I absolutely had to for some reason, could I ever go back? No, I couldn't, because it's just not... I still find men attractive. I just don't want to be with one. You know? To me... I could if I had to. I mean, if I was absolutely forced to, I could do it. And this is the weird thing about it is, if anybody looked at me, they probably would say, yes, it was a choice. And to some degree, yeah, it was a choice. Do I believe people are born being gay? Yeah. Yeah. I just happened to be able to do both. So, and did both. But I'm comfortable with where I'm at right now, and this is where I'm going to be. I don't know what my future holds. Maybe a man would walk right in my life tomorrow and sweep me off my feet, and maybe, oh yeah. I don't know. But for right now, this is who I am.
Great.
And this is who I'm going to be.
Yeah. How has your life changed? Because you've experienced both the heterosexual and homosexual lifestyle. How are they different, other than the clear?
Men are simple, women are complex. Okay? Mm-hmm. Again, men are simple and women are complex. Mm-hmm. women are difficult, very difficult to live with. Men, you know, just give them a remote and a sports program and they're good to go. Women analyze everything. We do. We just analyze everything. And then that time of the month, my God, it's like putting, you know, a scorpion and a tarantula in the same room and who's going to win, you know, or even two scorpions in the same room and which one's going to come out alive. I mean, that's what two women are like, unless they just have that kind of, you know, really laid back personality. Terry and I don't have laid back personalities, you know. But at the same time, you know, the great thing about it is that we know what we're going through. We know that we're going to be upset. We know why we're going to be, well, for the most part, why we're going to be upset. We know what our bodies are doing. Men are like, what are you doing? You know, why are you bitchy today? Well, you know what? If you knew what I was going through. So, you know, it comes with its ups and downs, but I think I like being with a woman because a woman I can identify. I don't identify with men. So, does that ever answer that question?
Do you feel as if living with a female, which that's what is, you're in the transition of doing again, mm-hmm. how does that make you feel? Are you ready to do that again and experience that, or are you nervous?
Oh, well, we still have a home together. Okay. Her job is just in Raleigh, so she comes home on her days off. But for the last 3 years, we've been doing that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there have been, you know, a couple weeks where she hasn't been able to come home and we're not together. And it's always a transition when she comes back. But to actually, yeah, we've talked about that, to actually 100% be again mm-hmm. in the same household, it's going to be a huge transition. There's going to be some fireworks, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. There always are. Always fireworks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, yeah, she's a wonderful person. But again, we're very high-spirited people, we're leaders, and putting two leaders in the same household sometimes makes for good fireworks. Let's put it that way.
Great. Do you feel as if you would be able to, living in Charlotte, leaving the Roanoke community?
Raleigh,
I'm sorry. Able to openly express your sexuality?
I had a friend, we were talking about this recently, she was in the Navy, and she did live in Raleigh for a while. This was back in the late 90s, and, you know, she says, now don't forget that when you go to Raleigh, you're in the heat of the Bible Belt. And I was like, oh, yeah, so are we here in Roanoke, so what's your point? But I think it's changed. I mean, Raleigh's kind of like Atlanta. You know, I lived in Atlanta. My oldest son was born in Atlanta. And you know, it's so transient. You know, a lot of imported people, if that makes any sense. You know, they come to the, you know, just the industry. It brings people from the north, brings people from the west. And, you know, you have this melting pot of a city. And so I don't honestly think that it's going to be that rough, honestly, in the city. Now, you get out to maybe the small suburbs, yeah, maybe probably more conservative. But in the heat of Raleigh, I don't really fear that I'm going to have to deal too much with that. I hope.
Great. And have you left anything unsaid today? Is there anything else you would like to share?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't have an explosive story. I wish I did. You know, it's kind of like the scary stories about having babies. You know, all these nightmares about birthing babies. I don't have one of those either. I mean, Mine were quick and easy. Mm-hmm. No medication, no nothing. I just, all natural, that was it. So I don't have the horror stories. So it's kind of like that. I don't have a horror story.
Great.
Which I feel very fortunate of. So.
Great. So overall, would you say overall your transition of, you know, coming out and identifying as lesbian has been a positive?
Yeah, for me.
For you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't say or speak to too many negatives about it. I can't really speak to any negatives about it. Yeah, no.
Great.
It's all good.
Great. Well, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And you.
Thank you.